what does it mean to truly grow up? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Sometimes they tell us that youth is for fun, middle age is for work, and old age is for God. That's not true. Man, every age is for fun, work, and God. But if you're young, live it up. Don't tell these kids, why don't you grow up? No, no. Learn to rejoice. Never let anybody take the childhood out of your heart. There ought to be a little boy in every man. Learn to rejoice.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding. The book of Ecclesiastes reveals life as a complex mystery. And as acclaimed pastor and Bible teacher Adrian Rogers said, history may tell us what, science may tell us how, but neither tells us why. Yesterday, in part one of this message, we learned that God, in his infinite wisdom, makes life a mystery to draw us to him. Apart from God, wisdom, wealth, and work are all meaningless. In spite of its mystery, though, God urges us to live with enthusiasm and joy. We cannot let our problems make cynics out of us. There are going to be some hard times. We would be foolish to not enjoy the good times. But how can we rejoice in every season? What do we have now that King Solomon did not when he wrote Ecclesiastes? With part two of It's Time for You to Get a Life, here's Adrian Rogers.
Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is the journal of King Solomon. Now, King Solomon had everything. I mean, you talk about a man that had everything? Listen, folks, he had power, he had popularity, he had prosperity, he had prestige, he had pleasure, anything his heart could desire. And yet it was a washout for him. He learned how to have a living, but not a life. He was drawing his breath and dying at the same time. And I think that if he'd been living today, somebody might say to him, hey, man, get a life. Now, what you have here in the book of Ecclesiastes is his journal and his record of some of the perplexities that he had, some of the mistakes that he had, and I want you to learn now about the life that we need to live. The life that God wants you to live as we're in this series of messages of a lifestyle for the last days. First of all, I want you to see what I'm going to call the complex mysteries of life, if you will. Again, verses 1 and 2, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And he said, I can't figure life out. Life is a puzzle. Life is a mystery. And every thinking person knows that it is. And I'm going to tell you a secret. God engineered it that way. Did you know that God does not want life to make sense to you? That may surprise you. But God, in his infinite wisdom, makes life a mystery. Now, he did that not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us, and God knows that if you and I, in our wisdom and ingenuity and sagacity, could figure it all out, we would never come to him if we could find meaning apart from him. And so this vanity, this confusion, this mystery is a tool that God uses to draw us to him. History may tell us what. Science may tell us how, but neither tell us why. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the answer, friend, is not in these things. The more a man learns, the more he realizes he doesn't understand. Bertrand Russell said, philosophy proved a washout for me. You see, apart from God, God has engineered that your life is going to be meaningless. Look now in chapter 2, verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. Now, it's much better to be wise than it is to be a fool. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Now, here's a man who looks where he's going. Here's a man who lives with sagacity and perspective. Here's a fool, a happy-go-lucky. But notice, I perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as happeneth to the fool, so happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then said I in my heart, that also is vanity. For there's no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As a fool. Here's a man who goes off to school. He studies and studies and studies and studies and studies. He gets a PhD. He learns all of these things. He walks this way. His eyes are in his head. Here's another guy. He could care less. He doesn't do anything. And they both somehow get through life. They die. They go to the ground. And they're both gone. Solomon says, what happened to all this knowledge? Down into the dirt. It's gone, gone, gone. He's saying, apart from God, wisdom is meaningless. He's saying, apart from God, wealth is meaningless. Look in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. There's an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity. It's an evil disease. Remember when you were young, you couldn't afford anything but beans and rice, but you had a cast iron stomach. And now you can eat prime rib, but the doctor won't let you. Isn't that amazing? That's what Solomon is saying. And so somebody else eats the things that you have worked for. He's saying, apart from God, wisdom is meaningless. Apart from God, wealth is meaningless. Apart from God, work is meaningless. Look in chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You would think that if a man is wise, if he works hard, if he does so and so and so and so, that he's going to be wealthy. And if a man isn't, he's not going to be wealthy. But Solomon said, don't forget time and chance. Maybe you've got bukus of money. Maybe you, Madam Got Rocks, Mr. Moneybags. You say, boy, look what I did. Time and chance. Time and chance. There are people there in the Sudan got more brains than you have, but they don't have the time and the chance that you have. And there's some people who just, hey man, they fell into it. Sammy could hardly make a C in school, but they had the class reunion. About 15 years later, Sammy came up in a car so long he had to have a hinge to get around the corner. Wearing incredible clothes, all big diamonds on his fingers. And they said, Sammy, where'd you get all that dough? How'd you do that, Sammy? I said, well, he said, you know, I said, I found out that I could make a deal for a dollar and sell it for $2, and everybody wants one. He said, I just sold them. I keep selling them. He said, you know, that 2% really adds up. Sometimes people are not too bright do real well. Sometimes people who are very smart don't do that well. What he's saying is, you're not going to figure it out. Apart from God, wisdom is meaningless. Apart from God, wealth is meaningless. Apart from God, work is meaningless. You will not get it figured out. Those, my friends, are the complex mysteries of life. Now, I want you to see secondly. I want you to see the challenging adventure of life. Do you think I'm trying to make you a cynic? No. Beware lest you become cynical. Now look, if you will, God tells us that life is an adventure and you need to live it with enthusiasm and joy. Just because you can't figure it out doesn't mean that you're not to go through it with joy. I'm going to give you a number of verses in a hurry, and I'm going to read them, and I want you to jot them down if you want to. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God, to eat and drink and enjoy things. Look, if you will, in chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. It is also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Notice Ecclesiastes 3, verse 22. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. Look, if you will, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Behold, that which I've seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. And Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. God says, look, this is life. Get with it. Enjoy it. Now, he's not talking about go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That's not what he's talking about. But he is saying, don't drop out. He's saying, don't get cynical. Don't get bitter. Attack life. If God has given you things, enjoy it. Jesus did that. Jesus lived life to the fullest. The Bible says of him, thou hast anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Jesus was not some sanctimonious religious recluse. Little children love to come and sit in his lap. They crucified him because they called him a wine bibber and a glutton. Of course he was not. But Jesus was a man who enjoyed life, and he enjoyed life to the fullest. And that's what you ought to do. Jesus had a life full of zest. Now, let me tell you how to live life. Remember this. God is good. The devil wants you to get a warped view of life. God is good, so live life joyfully. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. Now, even if you are bewildered and perplexed and you have problems, and you will have problems, don't let it make a cynic out of you. Friend, when you go to lunch today, eat your food and enjoy it. You go to work tomorrow, enjoy your job. You're married, enjoy your wife, enjoy your husband, enjoy your children, enjoy your grandchildren, enjoy your friends. Attack life. And squeeze all of the juice out of life that you can. It is the gift of God. Stop wanting a better life and enjoy the life that you have. Chuck Swindoll said, have you ever noticed a man never earns enough? A woman is never beautiful enough. Clothes are never fashionable enough. Cars are never nice enough. Gadgets are never modern enough. Houses are never furnished enough. Food is never fancy enough. Relationships are never romantic enough. Life is never full enough. A wise man said, to whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. God has blessed you. Friend, if you don't enjoy life, not only is it a shame, it's a sin. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There are going to be some hard times. And because there are going to be hard times, you're a fool if you don't enjoy the good times. You're a fool if you don't enjoy the good times. I mean, they're two tracks. Enjoy the good. Now, since God is good, we should live joyfully. Since God is sovereign, listen, we should live confidently. Look in chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. What does that tell us? God is in control. I have a motto on my desk. I look at it almost daily. It says, Adrian, trust me, I have everything under control. Now, it may seem vain to you, but it is not vain to God. Remember our verse in Romans 8, verse 20, for the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. And then verse 28, and we know that all things are working together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. If it doesn't make sense to you, that doesn't mean it doesn't make sense to God. God is sovereign. If you cannot understand God's ways, you can know God's heart. Somebody said, when we cannot trace His hand, we can still trust His heart. God is God. Let Him be God. But remember, God is sovereign. And God is in control. And not a blade of grass moves without His permission. That's what Solomon is teaching. Dr. Einstein, Professor Einstein, was absolutely brilliant. He came up with the theory of relativity. They say only 12 men have been able to understand it. I can't vouch for that. I don't know who the other 11 are. Somebody asked Mrs. Einstein, "Do you understand the theory of relativity?" She said, "No, but I understand Dr. Einstein." You see, you can know him. You don't have to know what he does. God is good, so enjoy life. God is sovereign, so live life not only joyfully but confidently. And then thirdly, God is holy, so live life reverently, reverently. Look again, if you will, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You live life joyfully, and you live life confidently, but you do not live life recklessly. Remember, God is watching. Life, friend, is a complex mystery. Life is a challenging adventure. Life is a comprehensive test. Life is a test. You're here to be tested. Everything's going to come into judgment. Look again, if you will, in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment." Three things that I'm going to finish. First of all, you learn to rejoice. Learn to rejoice. Look, if you will, in Ecclesiastes 11, 9, "Rejoice, O man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee all the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." Are you young? Live it up. Sometimes they tell us that youth is for fun, middle age is for work, and old age is for God. That's not true. Man, every age is for fun, work, and God. But if you're young, live it up. Don't tell these kids, "Why don't you grow up?" No, no. Learn to rejoice. Never let anybody take the childhood out of your heart. There ought to be a little boy in every man. Learn to rejoice. But he says, know this. He's not saying live high, wide, and handsome. He's not saying, young people, sow your wild oats. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, have the joy of the Lord. But remember, God is watching. Play by the rules. God's laws do not restrict us. They liberate us. Learn to rejoice. Number two, not only should we learn to rejoice, but we need to learn to rest. Look, if you will, in verse 10, "Therefore remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh." The word sorrow there in 11 verse 10 actually is vexation, and it comes from two words that mean anger and resentment. Get the anger out. Get the resentment out. Get the bitterness out. Learn to rejoice and learn to rest, and you can't rest with anger and resentment. If you're full of anger right now, get on your knees, get rid of it. Ask God to take it out. And that resentment. And then learn to remember. Learn to rejoice. Learn to rest. Learn to remember. Remember now, chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." To remember doesn't mean to call to mind. It means to honor, to obey, to serve. Remember God. That's what it's all about. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Friend, listen. Life is a mystery. Life is an adventure. And life is a test. And it's soon going to be over. Now, Solomon lived before Calvary. Everything that he wrote is by divine inspiration. But we know some things he didn't know, because we have the New Testament. We have an understanding that even Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, did not have before he died. Karl Barth was a brilliant theologian. Toward the end of his life, he took a trip. It was the trip of a lifetime. He traveled in the continents. He went to the great cathedrals. He went to the great universities. He lectured, he preached, he studied, he taught. He interchanged ideas with the doctors of law and philosophy and theology. It was a fitting climax to the life of a man who'd been a brilliant scholar. He came back home. This man who'd seen it all was in a classroom with other younger men there. And there was a time of questions. A young man lifted his hand and said, "Dr. Barth, in all of your travels, all that you've seen, what is the most profound thought you have ever had?" The old man smiled and he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What is life all about? Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly." And apart from Him, friend, it is vanity of vanities, apart from Jesus. If you're not saved, God brought you here today to get saved. And I tell you, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, God will save you today. I mean save you, make you over anew. It's a miracle if you'll trust Christ. Would you pray a prayer like this? "Oh God, I am a sinner, and I'm lost, and life is a mystery I cannot solve. But Lord, I know that You're in control, and I know that one day I'll face You, and I want to be right with You. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross and paid my sin debt with Your shed blood. I believe the Father raised You from the dead. I trust You, Jesus. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Save me, Jesus." Pray it from your heart. "Save me, Lord Jesus." Did you ask Him? Then thank Him. Say, "Thank You for doing it. I receive it by faith, and that settles it. You're now my Lord, my Savior, my God, my friend. Thank You for saving me. Begin now to make me the person You want me to be, and give me the courage to stand for You. In Your name I pray. Amen."
Well, we want to give you the chance to stand for Jesus and let us know if you made a decision to follow Him in faith just now. If you can, go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab Discover Jesus. You'll find answers that you may need about your faith, as well as a response section. You can share your decision with us, ask for prayer, or tell us how this message spoke to you. Welcome to God's forever family. Please let us hear from you today. Go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, "It's Time for You to Get a Life." You'll receive the entire lesson. This message is also part of the powerful series, Challenges to the Cross. For the complete collection, all 6 insightful messages, call that number 1-877-LOVE-GOD or order online at lwf.org/radio. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Life is a complex mystery and a challenging adventure. In order to pass the comprehensive tests of life, we need to learn to rejoice in every season, to rest in God's grace and goodness, and to remember Him. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for more profound truth simply stated by Pastor Adrian Rogers, right here on Love Worth Finding. You know, at Love Worth Finding Ministries, it's our greatest hope to continue Adrian Rogers' work in introducing people to Jesus and sharing what it means to follow Christ. That's why we're so excited to share our brand new book, Discover Jesus. The Discover Jesus book is based on popular messages from Pastor Rogers that reveal exactly who Jesus is and what He means to us. Discovering Jesus is a journey. This book is a map for those who are beginning or re-beginning their journey toward the author and finisher of our faith. If you're navigating new territory or need to refresh your walk with Christ, Discover Jesus provides the tools to use for such a season. For more information about the book or to purchase a copy, go to our online store at lwf.org. That's lwf.org. And thanks for your continued support of Love Worth Finding.